And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. Joining me on the phone line today is Pastor John Vance. JLV, we call him. And Pastor Vance, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be with you, Dan, and to be with your listeners.
Before we open the mic, you were mentioning quickly about a church that you're helping in your area. And I'm so happy that Pastor Vance, after you retired some, I don't know how many years ago now, 12 or whatever, you stayed active. You chop wood, you're ministering in pulpit supply. And how is it going for you? Anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I seem to be in decent health for my age. As an old country song, I think I'm in pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. And so I seem to be in decent shape, and I'm able to do what I need to do. I can do what I could do 20 years ago. So
that's beautiful.
That's not a concern. Maybe this string will run out on me pretty soon because I'm getting up there, but my dad lived to be almost 100.
Good.
I don't think he quit till he was, 96, 97. He kept his checkbook and everything right up to
Beautiful.
Probably within 6 months of his death. So,
well,
as long as you can keep your mind, you know, that's the big thing, and everything else is secondary.
Really is, yeah. I was amazed at what we recently had to go through with a president that was losing his mind and getting more and more dementia, and it's amazing how it was covered up. So these things are very fresh to us, having just come through that, basically that disaster. Pastor Vance, when you think about current events and culture and the application of the law of Christ to all of life, his moral laws, any particular subjects come to mind today?
This in general, we try to think, and maybe our minds are geared to work this way, and it's not wrong at all, but we are always trying to get free of problems. And I've discovered in my life, no matter where I am or what I do, you really can't free yourself from the problems of life.
Hmm.
It may be anxiety over money. It may be anxiety over health. It may be anxiety over world situation. It may be anxiety over politics of sorts and moral issues. But one thing I've discovered is that I think there's an old gospel song that says there's no resting place down here. And that's the way life is. And it's hard, particularly for maybe young adults. I've always had a place in my heart for younger people, young adults who are getting married. I loved when I was a pastor to marry young couples and
yeah.
see them raise children. And I always had a good rapport, particularly with young couples. I think better than the older people. My relation with the younger couples was always pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was because I sympathized with their situation, getting started in life, and lots of anxiety about a lot of things, getting established, raising children, and health problems with children.
Yeah.
We live in a world where things can and do go wrong. So, yes, it's the general situation. And, of course, as you well know, and you've alluded to it already, the political climate is, in fact, different. And I can say that, I think, with some authority, because I've lived through lots of different political situations. I'll date myself, but when I was an 11-year-old boy, I sat down and watched the Republican and Democrat conventions, and I believe they were held one in Chicago and one in the Cow Palace in San Francisco. And believe it or not, Dwight Eisenhower and Stevenson Adlai Stevenson were running.
Oh, wow.
And I listened to everything at 11.
At 11?
Every last bit of that debate. I got interested in politics, always was. But the climate is different today. It's a blood sport. And back then it wasn't. And people are divided. And I think there is a certain, and I don't want to overstate things, but there is a certain madness running through our society about politics. And it is largely on the left. And I hate to say, it includes a lot of young women.
Yeah, it does.
It's a phenomenon that I've never seen before.
No.
So I was discussing this with my sister last night. She's my same age, my twin.
Oh, yeah, right.
So we both have shared this together. And I said just what I said to you right now to her about the young women. And she says, I think that's true.
She gets it.
She gets it. But you can see it on television.
Oh, yeah.
So, yep. And that's the world we live in. And so there's a lot of anxiety. You might call it ennui or angst or whatever you want to call it. Angst is German and ennui is French. And it's a feeling of dissatisfaction and uneasiness that is pervading a lot of our young people. A feeling that pervades a lot of our young in society.
Yeah. I've changed over completely different sources for my news. Perhaps you have too. I resonate with certain streams, reliable streams, but they weren't available 10 years ago, certainly not 20, 30 years ago. And a lot of the older folks, I'm getting up there myself now, but a lot of the older folks, they seem to be content with, just turn on MSNBC or CNN. And I don't want to judge them, but I think that their tendency is, well, if it's on that big fig, it's got to be true. But it's not. And during this whole COVID thing we came through, that was a rude awakening to me because I held the medical community in very, very high esteem. And I realized they can be bought out too. And money really forms and influences even our medical care much more than it should. And anyway, I'm just rambling, but it's been a rude awakening, Pastor Vance, over the past 5, 6, 7 years here.
Well, I listen to the BBC some. In fact, when we listen to music, we have a classical station, like classical station,
sure,
that comes out of London. We can get on the radio you provided, and I listen to some of that once in a while.
Yeah,
and I get the BBC and besides Redeemer, and the fog that I see in the presentation. Sometimes I think it's just deliberately deceptive. You should hear how they talk about the United States and our current president.
Hmm.
But we've been disillusioned. Number one, many people became awake, if you will.
Were awakened, they did.
Through COVID.
Yep.
And secondly, they were awakened through this current former president and his decline and everybody denying it. to our face, they were what were they? What they call it gaslighting.
That's right.
And we were gaslit.
Yeah,
totally. And then it has to do. And if we go way back and begin to see the food pyramid, we were sold a food pyramid that is absolutely awful for our diets, and we're starting to get on that and clean that kind of thing up and realize. So there's so many things that you see. So, and of course the Russia hoax and the Russiagate thing in the political climate 4 years ago was a real rude awakening for many people as well when they discovered it was totally manufactured out of politics. So, yes, we have a lot of reasons to reevaluate our sources of news.
I think, I'm not sure of this, but I think we're also seeing an awakening taking place, and it's spiritual in nature, where people are responding to the drawing of God, the Holy Spirit, upon their life. And I think there's an awakening going on. I hope it continues, and I hope it's a large awakening that results in a solid reformation based on the Word of God in the land.
Yes, particularly among young men, believe it or not.
Yes.
It's been the reverse. Historically, young women have been more spiritually minded than young men, but today it seems to be reversed.
It does.
And we're seeing many young men become interested in spiritual things and interested in Christ. And it's not just here in America, but
no.
It's also, to some extent, in many other countries around the world. So while we may see some problems on the left hand, we see some real hope and growth on the right hand.
Yeah.
So that's important.
And there appears to be, even among the Muslims, sometimes there are, and I'm not of this tradition, but there's a charismatic dream that a lot of Muslims are getting of Jesus, and I don't know what to make of it, but I think it's real, and I think the Lord is reaching out to these people.
Well, missionaries are reporting a phenomenal interest in Jesus in some countries, particularly Iran and other Muslim countries, and it appears that that culture is programmed, if you will, to look for dream kind of thing.
Right.
And it appears that Jesus is appearing in dreams more and more and more, and it leads them to find people who can present the gospel to them. But it's very encouraging.
It is.
In the Muslim world. It's also true that in some of these European countries, they have all kinds of problems with radical Islam, there's no question. But there are also a number of Muslims coming to faith and attending churches. Matter of fact, I told you I listened to the station in London, but I get other news from there because it's world news more than just focused on Britain. And it appears that a lot of young Muslims are coming, are filling some of the churches, the evangelical churches in London and Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that's encouraging.
It is. The Lord, we just came through Ascension Sunday, and I'm reminded that Jesus now sits at the Father's right hand. And there's a curious verse in 1 Corinthians 15 talking about Jesus staying there until he's made his enemies his footstool. And I think we sometimes miss that the work of Jesus is extremely powerful. And it's a worldwide work. It's not just here in America, that's for sure. Well, today we're talking with Pastor John Vance, and he used to be my immediate pastor, 12 years ago? I don't know. I've lost track now. And used to live in...
I retired in 2013.
2013, there we go.
Yeah, that's 12 years. You got it right on the head.
Well, we have a wonderful friendship, and Pastor Vance puts up with me because I'm not trained as well as he is. He's got his doctorate and all of that, and Pastor Vance has insatiable thirst for reading and learning, and he's always learning. So I love to interview you, Pastor Vance, and what would you like to talk about next? We're kind of making a bridge between the Christian faith and the person of Christ and this world that we live in. It's almost like we're touching upon themes in the book of James here today.
That's true. There's a prayer that I pray, and I'll talk a little more about a couple of things that you suggested here. But there's a prayer that I pray for my grandchildren. I'm an old granddad, actually, compared to my grandchildren are very young. I have a 2-year-old, 3-year-old. They'll be soon be 3 and 4. and then a 7-year-old and a 11-year-old. So I'm older for a grandfather, but I pray for them every day. I think it's my responsibility. I pray for my daughters. I pray for their families and others in Westminster, by the way, that I continue to pray for. And it is this. I pray that they will grow up, that they will love the Lord and serve Him and keep His commandments.
Amen. Amen.
And that is an important prayer for this simple reason. To serve the Lord in this way is and to love the Lord is to bring a quietness and peace to your heart. It's a wonderful thing, in fact, to fix your mind upon the Lord. And I've quoted in the past that wonderful passage in Isaiah that I quote to myself nearly every day. It's in chapter 26, where it says that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee.
Amen.
And it goes on to say this, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And he is the rock of our salvation. And I work that through my mind over and over because we do live in a world that produces anxiety. Having been a pastor for 40-some years, 45 actually total, and I know how much anxiety, particularly that, as I've said, the young go through. Teenagers go through a lot of anxiety. It's not an easy time, and it's not an easy time to grow up when the environment around you is out of joint. It's not as cohesive and coherent, and it makes for an extra layer of anxiety and confusion for young people. And in one sense, that's why we can see this transgenderism taking hold among young people and parents, some parents even encouraging it. It's absolutely off the wall crazy.
It is. It is.
It's being supported in many areas. And just one judge recently said that we have to continue transgender care in the military and things like that. But this is not normal. And these are not necessarily normal times as far as having all the communications and everything. So I think what people have to do is find a couple of things that they can go to bring peace to their mind.
Yes. Yes.
That verse I just quoted, those verses, I quote that nearly every day, Dan, for my own mental health. It is a stabilizing thing in my life to remember that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And the other thing I do is pray a prayer that I only found out about 10 years ago. It's called the Jesus Prayer, and it's used in Eastern Orthodoxy. Now, I don't use it the way they do, and I won't go into all the differences. But the Jesus Prayer is ancient, and the Jesus Prayer is a very simple prayer, and I do pray that every day, too. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me.
Amen.
Now, that's repeated over and over, but notice, Lord Jesus Christ, that immediately fixes your mind upon things eternal.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, there's a confession. Son of God, the eternal Son, the second person of the Trinity, have mercy on me. And it's a wonderful prayer to repeat. I've had attacks of AFib. I had an ablation not too long ago. I hope it works. 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, at the Cleveland Clinic.
With your heart, yeah.
But Yeah, it's an electrical problem, you know.
That's right.
So, and I have when I have AFib, it's not light; it's a big mess.
It is.
My blood pressure shoots way up, and my pulse rate can go from 160 to 60 in 1 second, and things like that. It's just all over the place.
That's right.
And that prayer has brought me more solace and comfort in the midst of those episodes. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, and also thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So those are not tactics or gimmicks. It's just recentering our mind where it's supposed to be.
That's right. That's right. I remember some years ago you were teaching about world religions. Now, you're a Christian, obviously. That doesn't mean you can't learn and explain some of the nuances of other religions to people that are taking a course, and you did that. Christianity is unique. The person of Christ is unique. Yet we see in our own culture, we've had a lot of immigration into areas like Minneapolis, a lot of Somalian people, a lot of Muslims. What are some of the tenets? And this would be a whole broadcast, but in just 1 or 2 minutes, just a highlight that we need to be aware of as we interface with people.
You mentioned Muslims. There are a lot of good Muslims who are peaceful. There's no question about it, but there are a lot who are not. And it's different than Christianity in the sense that think of our leaders. Jesus taught. He never started a war. He didn't conduct a war. He never harmed anyone. He said, love your enemies. He taught us to be peaceful. He taught us to seek our Father in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer I pray very frequently, as a lot of Christians do.
Yeah.
And the first thing we say is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he teaches us to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Mm.
The Quran is not that way. Now, I have read the Quran. I taught world religions for 20 years.
Okay.
In SUNY New Paltz and a couple of other colleges. And I didn't teach Christianity because it was out of favor. They didn't want you to teach Christianity.
No, of course not.
One section anyway. But we could teach any other. And I was teaching Eastern religions mainly, and then also Islam. And I had a lot of Islamic students from the embassies down in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But when you begin to read the Quran, and apparently a lot of Muslims are not familiar with the Quranic verses, at least not that they're familiar with the prayers and things like that that mm-hmm. come out of the Quran. But the Quran is not a passive book. And Muhammad, according to tradition, that is through what we find in the Quran and also what is called the sayings of the early Muslims, particularly Muhammad, called Hadith. And they're very violent.
Mm.
Muhammad was responsible for something like 30 wars, a couple of civil wars, three, and maybe 50 or 60 raids during his life.
Wow.
On other Arabs on the Arabian Peninsula. Before he started, he didn't really get out much out of Arabia, but the other caliphs or caliphs that followed him are the ones that conquered that whole area and the Christian lands. Two different approaches to life, and this is a problem in our country when we find these radical Muslims. And the more seriously they take their religion in these verses, the more dangerous they are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like I said, this would be a whole broadcast, and we may want to consider doing it. It highlights to me the practical need of evangelization. Not only is there obviously the spiritual need of seeing people born again of the Spirit of God so that they have eternal life, and yet the practical need is there also, because when a heart is changed and they start walking with the Prince of Peace, they start acting out peace in all of life. I'll let you mm-hmm. have the final
yes.
comment here.
The peace is the important thing. It is not a, Islam is the Quran is not a book of peace, but the Bible, in particularly in the New Testament. Clearly is, and it focuses us. But I think we have to do two things in our society. Our governing authorities have to protect us from this sort of thing and not be unwise. There are radicals that they have to protect us against. But on the other hand, we as the church and Christians have to preach the gospel to these people and be faithful to it.
Yeah.
So you have a two-pronged approach to this whole problem. And the more we see world religions migrating into the U.S., that, to me, is the approach. One of the things I like to leave your listeners with, there's a passage in Romans, and most people know it, but boy, do we need to be reminded. And that is in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. For God in him, we are more than conquerors, it goes on to say.
That's right.
So we don't want to depress anyone here because we have every reason to be upbeat. The Lord is on our side and it'll be against us.
That's right. Pastor John Vance has joined us today, and it's always a delight. And thank you very much for your words of wisdom and a steady hand. May the Lord bless you in your work and your life going on, Pastor Vance.
Thank you.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.